I would like to thank Dr. Paisley tonight for the words of welcome back to Martyrs Memorial. And I would also like to thank you all for how you have prayed for me and remembered me over these past years, particularly since I was here before and on deputation. The Lord has truly undertaken, and also over the period of time that I have spent in Kenya. 25 years is not a short time, but I have much to rejoice in tonight and the goodness of God to me in keeping me there and giving me health and strength to stay there and in keeping the door open in Kenya for the sake of the gospel. But I believe much has been accomplished through the prayers of God's people and your support and your strengthening hand in the work of the gospel in Kenya. It certainly is not the work of really individuals, but we are labourers together with God. And I do thank you for that tonight. I would like to read some verses of scripture this evening. I'd like to read some verses in Acts chapter 19 before I speak to you for a short time, and then I would like to show you a DVD of the work. Acts chapter 19 and we'll read some verses from verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it was 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And just two verses over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 8 and 9. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. I would like to base my comments this evening on verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. When I think of the work in Kenya tonight, I do think of the door that God has opened unto me. It's personal that God chose me to go to the land of Kenya, that God called me to be a missionary. And as the Apostle Paul here says, that the door was opened unto him as an individual and as the Lord's servant. I do thank God for making me a missionary. C.H. Spurgeon said that if God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. And I thank God. I have no regrets at being a missionary. I have no regrets for the years that God has given me in the land of Kenya. Amen. And God's work is not a burden. It is not something that we do under duress, but it is something that God has given us to do, and the joy of the Lord is in our hearts and in our lives, even though at times the work can be difficult. And God spoke to me and took me to the land of Kenya, and he opened that door for me. The door, it says here, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. God opened the door in Kenya. I thank God as I look back over the years that he kept that door wide open for the work there. There were times when we felt that the door was closing. When I think of 1988 when the authorities closed down the work and they said you can't worship anymore. I think of 1994, when there was tribal unrest in Kapanguri, and when there was a real attack upon the people of God there, and when we lost two of our own young people. There was an attack upon the church, and there were questions being asked, and much thought been given to, do we move out of this area, or what is the future? And then this was brought home again to us this year, in 2008, whenever we had severe problems in the country, political problems. And we wondered as missionaries, is the door going to close? But God again has overruled. And I thank you for your prayers.
Amen.
I would just like to say tonight that while things were very bad in Kenya, and it was something that Kenyans who have lived in the country for 80 years have never seen or heard of, what happened in January. And the loss of life was very, very sad. But I would like to say that in our area and in our churches, there was no loss of life and no loss of property either. Perhaps in the wider family circles, people had friends and members of their family in different areas in the country who had lost property. But our own people were untouched and unaffected in that. And I believe that was the Lord's hand. And I believe it was as a result of your prayers. God really did protect us.
Amen.
You know, as soon as they announced that we were going to have a new president, or rather, we were still going to have the old president, we thought we had a new president. And everybody was quite resigned to the fact there's going to be change. But then in a couple of hours' time, we were told, no, you don't have a new president. The old one's still going back in again, and he's been sworn in. It was a Sunday afternoon. And as soon as that was announced, I was with Gillian in my home in Kapanguria. And as soon as that was announced, the guns started to fire. Now, I think they were firing in the air. The barricades were put up. And one of our drivers called me and he said, don't go out. Things are not good. And things were extremely tense. And the people just were ready for action. But the community leaders did settle them down, or at least did restrain them in our area. And while there were problems, certainly nobody was injured in a serious way. Not like an Eldred 60 miles from us, where people really were slaughtered. And that was very, very sad. And there was a missionary who just lives down the road from me, from USA. He works with the Dunkard Brethren. And he came up to see me one morning and he said, I was just wondering, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave? And I said, well, we haven't made that decision yet to leave. And I said, you know, in 1994 we had problems here as well. But they did subside. He said, well, you know, I've been round all of Kapanguri, and he was looking for some missionaries from the Lutheran Church and some people who are working with governments from Holland and other European countries. So he wanted to visit them and ask them what they were going to do in the situation. And he found that they'd all left and they had been flown out of Kitale. So it was a very tense time. And again, as I've said, we wondered, is the door going to close? But God has kept it open.
Amen.
And things have settled. And we do need you to pray. We can never relax. We need your prayers. We need to be always on duty in the Lord's work. And we need to be always at the throne of grace. And things certainly have settled. And I assume that they will be like that till the next election, which is 4 years down the road. But do pray for the country. God has been good to us. Then also with regard to keeping this door open, this year we were faced with another issue that really hadn't affected us so much in the past. When I went out to Kenya 25 years ago, I had to get an entry permit. And that permit has been renewed for at least 7 times. And while there's been delays, there's never been any real issues. Reverend DiCanio came out a year ago in August to help us in the work. And he was not intending really to stay long term. He's working with the mission board, and he felt he would be there for 6 months to a year. But as the work, you know, when somebody comes, well, we don't like to let them go too quickly, especially when there's plenty to be done. But the church there decided to apply for an entry permit for him. And it was applied for last November. Nothing was said or done about it. And then there was the trouble, so we weren't really thinking that a lot would be done. But in March this year, we got a response from immigration to say that it had been turned down. There were no questions asked. We had applied for permits before. Normally, they want more documents or they want further explanation. But there was no questions asked. It was just turned down. But he's still there tonight. There are ways and means of staying in the country. But that again brought home to us that really we are aliens in the country. You know, it's not very nice to be classed as an alien, but we have a little alien card and we're visitors in Kenya. And we do need our permits renewed every 3 years. At the same time, Noreen McAfee's permit came up for renewal. We were in a bit of fear and trembling as to what the authorities are going to say. Is this a policy now? But hers came through in a very short time for a period of 3 years. The Lord was good. But we'd ask you to pray about that permit of the Reverend DeCanio. He can stay in the country 6 months, leave for a short period and go back in for another 6 months. But we would like to see that permit brought through, and there is an appeal in the immigration office. But it's again an emphasis on the fact that we need the doors to be kept open for us as the Lord's servants, and I would ask you to pray much about that. It's an open door, and it was for personally for us as missionaries. It says here also it's a great door. God has opened a great door for the work of the gospel in the land of Kenya. I thank God for the numbers of people that we have opportunity to minister to every day. It's great in the sense of numbers. In our academy, there are 600 children ranging from 3 years to perhaps 18, 19 years of age. And every day, the word of God is opened to those children and young people. That is a great door. We also have 11 nursery schools out in the outlying churches. And there are 344 small children between the age of 3 and 6. They hear the word of God every school day, Monday to Friday. That's also a great opportunity. Since I went out to Kenya, I've been involved in Sunday school work. And this year on our rule books, we had 1,600 children scattered over 25 Sunday schools. Now, I can't say, I wish I could say, oh, they've all come to the Lord. They haven't. But we have the opportunity to help those children just one day a week, of course, in the Sunday school class, and to bring the word of God to them. It's a great door. And you know, there is so much more that could be done, and there are so many areas that we have never been able to visit or been to. Often they come to Reverend Kendigore's home, people from other districts. They hear about the work and they hear about the church out there and they say, oh, come and help us. And Reverend Kendigore certainly has the vision. But you know, there is nobody really to go and help them. That is the sad reality. And there are many, many opportunities in Kenya for the gospel. It's a great door. And I also think it's great because in Kenya tonight, 44% of the population is under the age of 15. And it's always a privilege to work with children and young people. I think of our Sunday school teachers there. I often tell them the privilege it is to stand before a young child that has not been polluted by the awful sin of this life and who has not been taken aside into awful error. And here you have his young heart, of course, in sin, we know. But what a privilege it is. It's a great door that God has given to us in the land of Kenya, and I thank him for it. It's also been effectual. There has been change in lives. There has been souls saved. The work is expanding. But we do need your prayers that the Lord will raise up labourers. If you were to ask me my burden tonight, what is the burden that is upon my heart? Well, I know the work of the academy is still there and there are many needs. We are trying to complete the building project. It's been a long, arduous work from the day 10 years ago when we started to build. But the end is in sight, but tonight they're trying to complete a laboratory and library for secondary school. And the students in secondary school are doing the national exam, the secondary school exam, next year, and they really do need that laboratory. But things have become so expensive, just like here at home. I'm so glad we started to build 10 years ago, because things were a lot cheaper then. But we believe that God will bring in the need for this building. Amen. And for the completion of it for January, at least the laboratory. If it's a two-story building. And you know, in Kenya, well, perhaps our laws are not as tight here. We can go in even if it's not finished. And we are looking to the Lord that even the laboratory, the bottom floor, would be ready and that we could use it in January. So in the academy, there are many needs and burdens. But my greatest burden tonight is for the Bible College of the Bible Christian Faith Church. Because we have come to the stage now where, as I said, we can't reach out because the labourers in Kenya are so few. And we need the Lord to take a dealing with the hearts of young men in Kenya and bring them to the Bible College to be trained and to be separated unto the work of the gospel. And I would ask you to pray the Lord of the harvest. Now I know there is work for people from Ulster in Kenya tonight. And we still need missionaries. The day of missionaries are not over. Whenever I read those verses in Acts chapter 19, you'll see the work of the Apostle Paul in Ephesus and how the power of God was there to deliver men and women. But there was also counterfeit missionaries there. And there were those who took upon themselves to cast out the evil spirits in their own power and in their own making. And we have many counterfeit missionaries on the mission field tonight. And, perhaps that's maybe very critical, but when you see the type of work they're doing and when you see how they live in Kenya, you realise that they are certainly not missionaries according to the New Testament sense. And we really do need the Lord to raise up labourers for his work. And I would ask you to pray. It's a great door and it's effectual and it's open tonight. But there are many adversaries. We have many difficulties in Kenya. Dr. Paisley talked about the work of the ecumenical movement. And they certainly have taken many aside into error tonight. They are setting forth this idea of Africanizing Christianity. Before I came home, I was down in the school. I take a class every Friday morning. And the topic on the syllabus was the history of Christianity. I spent a long time with the children teaching them where Christianity began. There in Israel. And where the Lord was born and where he was brought up. You know why? Because they're told that they need an African Jesus. They don't want the Jesus of the white man. They want their own African Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I tried and emphasized it and repeated it over and over again. That you know, Christianity is not European. Neither is it African. And there is only one brand of Christianity that we find in the Bible. So these are the issues and these are the adversaries that they have. There is a lot of error. And then, of course, the people we minister to in Kenya, they have many needs. I would say self-interest amongst the people is a great hindrance to the work of the gospel. Now, here in the Western world, many of us are self-interested. Our people today, they're interested in things for themselves. And that influence has certainly reached Kenya. But in Kenya, because people are poor, they come to the church because of help. They do need food. On occasions, we're not living in famine, thankfully, as yet. But they do need food. They do need clothes. They do need help with their children's education. They will come to the church for those reasons. That is also self-interest. They are not particularly interested in Christ or in salvation. And that's a hindrance in the work of the gospel. Now, of course, we don't stand up and chase them all and put them on the road and say you're only here because of what you can get. The Lord can change hearts, but we do recognize that it's not of help to the work of the gospel. And that's another problem that we have. As missionaries, we face it every day. It's rare to go through a day without people at your door coming with their very difficult situations. They have many sad, sad stories to tell you. And your heart really is touched. But when we think of the work of the gospel, while we do need to help where we can, the greatest help that someone needs is to realize they are sinners and that they need the Savior. That is a real challenge to us in the work of the gospel. And there have been many, many difficulties. Just as Paul here in Ephesus had many adversaries. Truly in Kenya tonight, there are many difficulties. But we thank God that we're on the winning side. And we do need to see God's power demonstrated there in the work of the gospel in Kenya. Pray for the Lord's servants. Pray for Reverend Kendigar. Pray for all the other pastors who are there. Pray for the missionaries. Remember that permit of Reverend DiCanio. I'd ask you also to pray for Noreen McAfee. She had surgery about 6 weeks ago in hospital in Nairobi. And she's doing well. She's back at work. But pray for the Lord's strengthening hand upon her and indeed upon all the missionaries who are there. I thank God tonight for the open door, the effectual door in Kenya that he's given to us. But I do ask you to pray for real victory amongst all the error and heresy that is being taught even on the mission field. Every cult that you have here, in fact, I think we might have more cults in Kenya than what is here in Ulster. That may not be true, but I was asking someone last night about a certain cult we have. They never heard of it, but we have it in Kenya. There's so much falsehood, and we need to be strong for the truth. And I had asked you to continue to pray for us. I'm going to show a DVD tonight. I have copies of it. And the purpose is that perhaps you could pass it on to others who are not here tonight, or you could watch it again to remind you of the work in the land of Kenya. I also have a prayer card, and I would ask you to take one there as you leave and continue to pray for me personally. And then this prayer update. You know, it would be very difficult for you to remember everything tonight and all the needs that you will see. But this prayer update has been prepared, and our brother Joe has just given it to me tonight. Now, there are many needs there, and even if you took a few every day and prayed for them and continued to pray for us, these are the real needs that we have at this particular time in the work of the gospel in the land of Kenya. So I'd encourage you to take that prayer update and keep it close where you pray. And just open it and pray for one thing for us every day. I believe God will answer. There is a quote here from George Mueller, and he said, "I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk, when I lie down and when I rise. And the answers are always coming." And if you would do that for us, even 1 minute for Kenya every day, I believe God will continue to answer and to bless in the work there. I trust the DVD will be a blessing to you tonight. Thank you very much.